You're listening to a special edition of Talking Tigers as part of Tiger Trade Central, brought to you by Bingle Car Insurance. And while I'm enjoying a well-earned break from this footy season, Greeners and AC will be telling you everything you need to know about free agency and the trade periods. There is no show without me, but over to you, boys.
Hello, Tiger fans. Thanks, Richo, and welcome to episode 3 of Talking Tigers, the off-season podcast specials as part of Tiger Trade Central, which is presented to you by Bingle, and Bingle is helping us to deliver you all the latest news about the AFL's free agency and trade periods. You can go to bingle.com.au for a quote today. Now, on today's show, we're going to have former Tiger and current head recruiter Francis Jackson's going to be in the studio, and we're going to update you on everything that's happening at Tigerland this week. Greeners, what a track to start off the podcast.
What was it?
Tupac Shakur.
Tupac.
Bit of changes.
Tupac. Oh, whatever.
Oh, no. That didn't work out, did it?
No.
Of course, Changes is the song. And
Changes. No, I preferred the Bowie version last week, but anyway, we might get back to that next
you
week.
You don't understand the reach that Tupac had in his time.
Oh, I do. I know he was the man that put the C in rap. I do know that. Yeah.
What?
Is there a part of your brain that's missing?
Oh, here we go.
Anyone that likes rap, is there just a little part of your brain that hasn't sort of properly formed or something?
Well, do you think everything modern is wrong, do you?
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, well, that's right. You're out of touch.
Except for the current Richmond team.
Yeah, that's
pretty
right.
Much.
Anyway. All right, well, let's kick off the show by a bit of news. Yesterday it was announced, or last night announced, that round one we're playing Carlton again.
Yes, surprise.
Not the first game of the year, though.
No, but it wasn't the first game this year, was it? Because I think this year it was GWS and Sydney kicked off the week before. But
so similar concept for the start of next year. There's going to be at least two games. They haven't revealed the AFL all the round one yet. They've revealed four games.
Yeah.
So we are playing the Thursday night, March 28, MCG, Carlton home game.
So am I right in assuming that we will be the first game in Melbourne? Is that right? For the year,
possibly.
For the season?
Not sure. How many games they're playing the first week? They've announced two. I'm not sure if it's...
Well, we play on the Thursday night.
It's the first game of that weekend.
I'd say we're the first game in Melbourne, because I think there's only going to be one, is it, the week before?
Two. Adelaide plays Essendon.
But I reckon they'll both be interstate.
Yeah, Adelaide plays Essendon, Amy Stadium, Friday, March 22.
Frio, there you go.
The derby over there, Frio, West Coast.
So there's the two interstate, and then I think we'll be the first Melbourne game on, which is, it's the Good Friday Eve, isn't it?
It is.
It's the Thursday night.
And they've also announced the Easter Monday game, April 1st, Geelong versus Hawthorn at the G as well.
So when do we expect to get the finalised, the whole fixture.
Yeah, they're saying end of October. So things being finalised there. We see a draft. We put in our submissions. We wait to hear what they say from us, and then we can go back and say, "Oh, what do you reckon? Can we change this around?" And then the AFL, in their infinite wisdom, can change and suit it to their needs.
It's very interesting to see. So the first half dozen games, what they're like compared to the last couple of years. It'll be fascinating.
Because we've had some tough.
It's been a fairly tough draw the last couple of years.
It'd be nice if we can, you know, get a couple of wins early.
Well, it'll be very handy indeed.
Set the scene.
Be very, very handy.
Good for membership. Isn't it?
Absolutely.
It was also announced last week or earlier this week about the pre-season comp.
The round robin.
So it's going to remain the same as what it did last year with the first round of the preseason competition separated into two divisions.
That's
the mini games of the three teams.
Lightning sort of premiership, whatever it's called. Yeah.
And then at the end of, so you play that game on the first week, and then you play two full games in the following 2 weeks. And then the points and the percentages tally in the two.
I like that.
I really like it
because you guarantee, you know exactly who you play and where.
Yep.
I think it works really well.
The only thing we won't know is who we would potentially play if we don't play the grand final, who we play in the fourth week.
That's okay.
But, you hope that you don't go into state, but, you know, you balance it out with if you have to travel early in the preseason comp. So
yeah, and I think that's good.
So that kicks off, I think, the 15th to the 17th of February. So we not much rest. It goes pretty quick.
No. And, of course, they'll be back training. The boys will start to filter back from, what, early November on, obviously in a staggered sort of period there.
So the young guys get back, I think, 1st of November, so not much more rest for the boys. And then the older guys kind of filter in as they're, how many years they've been here for, and by the end of, you know, mid to end of November, everyone will be back, bar the guys that are injured at the moment, which there are not too many.
Just apart from probably Jakey King, who's had every operation known to mankind in the off-season, but he'll be fine. But we're tracking all right in that regard, and
takes
that's going to make
him smile, doesn't he? He was in here today.
Oh,
King, you just you know, hobbling around. He just loves it. Doesn't mind going under the knife.
Nah.
Nothing phases Jake King.
It just enhances his reputation for toughness and bravery, doesn't it, really?
Absolutely. A few of the boys are in. Dave Astro is in today. A few of them are
I had a quick word to Dave. He's just said it's just not because his first full pre-season he's looking forward to. So
there's a lot of keenness going around. And at this time, a couple of years ago, with the old facility and stuff, there wasn't any of this going on. Boys want to be here.
No, they're buoyant. Everyone's quite buoyant.
Absolutely.
A couple of new faces obviously coming in with Troy Chapman and Chris Knights. And obviously they're very much looking forward to it. And we've still got a fair way of the trade period and, free agency last week, this week. Then another week. This week. And then another week of the trade period.
So it might all happen next week.
Well, because I think on Friday the clubs know what their compensation picks don't they?
So that's holding up a few moves, I think.
And that will move it on. And then, of course, as we've mentioned before, there's still another couple of windows of free agency opening up for those players that have been delisted. So it's going to be a very...
Because everyone that gets delisted is a free agent.
Automatic free agent. Automatic.
So might see a bit of movement.
Well, you don't have to, trade for them or put picks up or anything like that. She's going to be a busy time.
It's an exciting time of year.
It is exciting.
You know who's excited?
Who?
Our next guest.
Oh, he is. Well, that's the way it is.
Well, it's a busy time of year, this time of year, for the recruiting staff, and we're very lucky, Greenus, to have the head recruiter at Richmond, Francis Jackson, in the studio. Francis, welcome, mate.
Thanks, Adrian.
Thanks for spending some time.
Francis,
You've been busy having a look at the players we might be potentially looking at shortly coming up.
Yep.
How are the preparations going, Francis?
Well, they were going really well until you pulled me away from watching Vision. I said I was on a roll today. So, we're busily trying to tie all the loose ends up. Obviously, once the season ends, we move a bit away from their footy into their psych profiles and things more off the field. And then last week we had the draft camp, which kind of is another piece in the puzzle. So the next kind of 3 or 4 weeks, we put it all together and come up with our final rankings. So we're in the midst of reviewing all the Vision and going back through all of our coded games of the individuals that we've done throughout the season.
Yep.
I suppose the fact, Francis, that we're in this trade and free agency period, are you having a word to Blair Hartley and Craig Cameron about that we want more picks or lower picks and not to give them up?
Yes, no. The phone's ringing constantly, which is a good thing, although I must admit I was at a funeral yesterday and the phone was gone. But no, it's been terrific and full credit to Blair, his preparation in that regard, from viewing the players that we've targeted and then, being really well prepared for free agency has been a terrific boom for us, because to tie up two players very early on in the piece and to have all of his hard work rewarded, early, we knew exactly where we stood and what was going on. So he's done a fabulous job, getting two quality players on our list, which will give us more depth and certainly strengthen that back line, give us that a bit more experience and certainly a bit more versatility.
Yep. Mm. And the good thing is, of course, with free agency is that it's come in, you don't have to give away a pick. It's just players that come in and it's great for you guys.
Absolutely. Mm. So they are like, our last or second last picks in the draft that are actually going to come in ready to go and impact straight away. And judging from the boys, that they can't wait for pre-season to start, so it's a really exciting time.
Francis, what about the process throughout the year with in terms of scouting that young talent? When do you begin? When do you sort of start all this planning for the following year's, the year's draft?
Well, basically, Tony, as soon as the rookie draft is finished, although if you went into our recruiting office now, there's three whiteboards, one with this year's draft, which is obviously very detailed, one with next year's draft, which we started a year ago after the 16s, so that's fairly well documented right now, and then another one with the following 2014 draft. Right. So we do start looking as soon as the rookie draft's finished. We move on, review all the previous Vision, and start coding games of the players who we know are more than, strong possibilities of being draftable, and we discover other players through watching Vision. So basically it doesn't stop. We go through to December to the pre-season rookie draft and then move on straight away to the next year. So it is a long process, but during the year obviously we go to practice matches and, you know, they start as early as February.
Yep. So how important is it then to have, you know, we've got three full-time staff now, others that are working for us in the state having a look at some things. How important is it? Because we haven't always had that. But now that we do have that full complement of workers here looking at talent, how important is that for you?
Well, perhaps I'll give you an example. I was just looking at a particular player who's going to be a top 10 draft pick. And we have every time one of our full-timers or part-timers views a player, they fill in a report that goes into an online structure that tabulates those reports. And for one of the players, I was just focusing on, I would spend 2 days focusing on one particular player.
Yeah.
There were 47 reports. So to pour back through those and to have everyone's opinions, and we get average rankings on all of those viewings, which really gives us a great insight as to the player's strengths and weaknesses over a two-year time frame, not just what we see this year. So our structure is obviously, you know, well, it's hard to compare. When I first started, you know, in 2006, there was really just me. We had a few volunteers, but now we've, as you said, our three full-timers, which is terrific, but we also have two part-timers in WA, two in SA, and two in Victoria. So that enables us to really spread the load and to actually get a great handle on all the potential draftees Australia-wide.
Yep.
And obviously we've done a fair bit of work overseas as well with a bit of PNG. We're doing a little bit of work in America as well. And so it really enables us to spread our resources far and wider and actually, as I said, view the players and build up strong database as to their strengths and weaknesses.
What about our philosophy, Francis, like in terms of drafting? Is there a sort of a set philosophy that you go in with? Or
do you look at need, or do you look at, you know, best available, that sort of thing?
We generally always pick best available for our first pick, but when you talk about that, it's just a constantly evolving and changing, you know, landscape. And probably a very good case in point today is the potential interchange. Rule change, which is going to have a significant impact on us. I mean, if in fact that is true and goes to the limited 80 interchange, it means perhaps that our mids need to be able to be multi-talented to play different positions, which we think we're really suited with say Trent, Dusty and Lids being able to go forward and tie play on ball, and also the endurance factor and the running capabilities really perhaps, you know, come more into play because players need to spend more minutes on the ground and not be rotated off as much. So the game is constantly changing. We monitor that through statistics, and we've seen contested footy become increasingly important in the last 3 or 4 years, and I think obviously that trend will continue. So there are lots of different factors that actually really affect what weighting we put on particular aspects.
Yep.
So, you know, there are so many varied individual aspects that we really drill into looking at players' overall performances when we do our final rankings.
And what about, what are your thoughts on the draft in general, the quality of the draft early on and also a bit later on?
Yeah, I think remembering that two players are taken out from Jager O'Meara and Brad Crouch, and that would have obviously, if they were back in, that would have given it a little bit more strength. Well, I think it's probably an average year.
Yep.
But I think it's maybe the first round has some depth, but I think there are plenty of question marks on a few of the players in that first round, which all will be revealed in 3 or 4 years' time. I think it is a difficult draft, I think. So.
Okay. Yep. I want to get onto a bit of historical stuff in a minute, but just first of all, some of the players that you've drafted in the last few years that we haven't seen a lot of, just your thoughts on a couple of them. And I know you're a big rat for like the likes of Brett Helbig. You rate Brad pretty highly.
Yeah, no, I certainly do. But I remember sitting here last year perhaps discussing with about our flaws where we sat and thinking that we had issues in defence, and we look back on 12 months and how far we've progressed in that regard with you know, Alex progressing again and Dylan Grimes really playing a vital role, and then we bring in Stevie Morris, who's a first year player, Brandon Ellis, who's first year player, Jake Batchelor, a second year player. So sometimes you can sit back and say, oh, we need this,
but they come on very quickly.
Yeah. And actually, we hope, you know, a couple of players will really improve significantly this year, which I'm sure they will, which will strengthen perhaps our perceived weaknesses at the minute.
Yeah.
So, as you mentioned, we think Brad Helbig has been most unlucky with injury, and when he's returned to the senior team later, he really showed his wares, and I think he's a potential midfielder that will really add to our depth there.
Yep.
Matty Arnott had a longer term ankle injury last year, which hindered his progress.
Yeah.
So we're hoping he can step up, and I think Reece Conker has significant improvement in him as well. I think it's generally exciting considering how much improvement our younger players still have in them.
And there's a couple of those taller players too, obviously. I mean, you know, Dave Asprey, you know, hopefully we'll have a full pre-season this time. And then there's Todd Elton. So there's a few in the ranks there, isn't there?
Absolutely. Yeah. And Ben Griffiths as well.
Yeah. So Griffiths, of course.
If you look at those three, they're really vital for our future and our structure going forward. And yet all relatively inexperienced through one reason or another.
Now, I just want to go back, just look at a couple of historical things. We obviously got this huge top 20 Tiger trade pickups of the last 50 years. Now, you played with some of these blokes that are in this top 20 list, so I just want to get your opinion on three of them. First one, the one we had at pick 13 yesterday, was Ricky McLean. So listen a little bit about Ricky. I'll be very interested in your thoughts on him.
Well, I first met Ricky when I started here as a kid, and my locker was next to Ricky, so he was 35 and I was 34. So he took me under his arm a little bit and looked after me, and I watched in awe at his the way he played footy.
Geez, he was tough
on he was one tough competitor, but
he could play too.
He could play, but he was very, very fierce and a fabulous player to have on your side.
Yes.
So when I went to South Melbourne in 1975, I remember very vividly at the MCG playing a game. It would have been one of the first ones I played for South Melbourne against Richmond. And a friend of mine who I met some terrific people who we stay in contact with, but I remember Tony Franklin.
Yes.
Playing on Ricky McLean at fullback, and he started punching him. I said to him, Tony, what are you doing? And anyway, Tony was from Tasmania, and he was a tough customer as well. So they had an all-out war one day, and I've soon realised that Tony went very well.
He must
as
have
well,
been.
And he stood up to Ricky, and they had a fantastic contest. I think Ricky probably got 6 weeks over that. It was on for young and old, but he was fabulous.
Yeah,
and
he was a fiery customer. What about Paul Sproul, who obviously went on and played in the back-to-back 73-74 premierships? He was a pretty handy player too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was ultra consistent and a really hard runner who was kind of ahead of his time a little bit because of his hard work and his endurance, which was fantastic for Tommy's game plan. You know, kick it long to into the forward line to Royce or Barmy. At their feet were, you know, Paul Sproul was there all the time, and he was, you know, very, very smart, had great footy smarts, and was terrific to actually teach the other players as well. He's a really well-respected player.
And the other one who I know is a very good mate of yours, hasn't been in great health at the moment, is the great Ian Stewart.
Yes, well Ian was fantastic and had a great rapport with all the younger players when we were here, and I could tell some great stories about his time here, in particular the 1973 grand final. But I think just briefly, though, after long celebrations on the Sunday night after the grand final, everyone found themselves in the boardroom, and most people had gone, but they locked up the fridge in the boardroom, but Stewie somehow found a way to open it and said, you don't win premierships every day, boys. Yeah. I'm sure they'll send me the bill anyway. And so all the young folks found themselves in the boardroom with an open fridge on the Sunday night of a premiership year, so it was a long night. But he was a magnificent player and ahead of his time as well. He was so highly skilled and very tough and competitive as well, despite his wiry frame. But his foot skills and ability to read the play were outstanding.
Yeah.
And obviously he had a significant impact because he was my second coach at South Melbourne and had I learnt an enormous amount about Stu. He was way ahead of his time, and everyone respected him at the Swans. We still keep in contact, as he does with a lot of the players. And hopefully he'll pick up soon after his recent illness.
Yeah, we certainly
he's
wish
a
him.
Great competitor and fantastic.
We wish him all the best, there's no doubt about that. And then, of course, the other big thing, of course, having Francis here is that you were involved, obviously, as a player at Richmond, in what was probably the worst trade that this club's ever made, it's fair to say, when you, Graham Teasdale, and the Whale, Brian Roberts, went to South Melbourne in exchange for John Pachura. What were your thoughts at the time? And
Yeah, I was pretty young. It was 1975, Tony, so it was a long time ago. Yeah. But I do remember a few things about that trade. One, that Brian Roberts was the heart and soul of Richmond. Yeah. He was a fantastic life of the party, social, who had really strong relationships with a lot of the senior players. And he led the way with a lot of after-match escapades and was really highly regarded. So I think, you know, the Tigers lost a really important, you know, person in the footy club when he left.
I think Tommy almost admitted almost the moment Brian left, walked out the door, he thought, no, it might have been a mistake.
Yeah, you know, he really was fantastic, and he was a terrific player. Now,
he finished fourth in the Brownlow that year, equal fourth that year. Yeah.
And if my memory serves me correctly, I think he played the first maybe five games on the interchange bench for Richmond.
Yeah.
And that trade happened maybe round six or seven.
Yeah, it was around then. Yeah, it was.
And he went on, as you said, to have a great year and to poll plenty of votes. Mm. But he ran into Stewie at, that was under Graham John that particular year, and then he ran into Ian Stewart, and they had a few issues about training regimes. And
so he only played the one season, didn't he?
Wild took over the pub in South Melbourne, but he was a really big loss, I think, for the club culture.
Yeah.
And obviously Graham Teasdale went on to win the 77 Brownlow, and, you know, he was a fabulous player, and unfortunately didn't go to Sydney and end up at Collingwood, but the very fact that he won the Brownlow in 77 with an outstanding year, you know, and he was a terrific player that was multi-talented and playing forward or in the ruck.
And, of course, Francis being the modest man he is, AC, wouldn't say that he went on to have a very, very good career himself.
Didn't mention himself.
South played over, played 100 games there and was a very, very good player for South Melbourne. But anyway.
a few knee recos later, though. I think that was my problem. I think I had three knee operations.
There you go.
No, I did, finished, I remember, in successive years, fifth, fourth, third and second.
Yeah,
Best and fairest before the old knee.
Yeah, it's good.
Now, just before we let you go, Francis, we know you're flat out. When did you first think you'd get into the recruiting game, and how did it all happen for you?
Very good question. It happened very early, actually. Yeah. When I did my knee in 1979, round one, against the Tigers. Thanks thanks very much, Robert Wiley. I kicked the ball, and he came across my leg, and I did my knee in round one, 1979.
And that was his first game, Robert Wiley, too, at Richmond,
Anyway, I missed the whole year, and Ian Stewart came to visit me in hospital and said, look, I want you to coach the under-19s this year. I said, they've already got a coach. He said, no, I'll sack him. So he said, I want you to go because unless we get some kids coming through, we've got no future. Mm. So actually I went and did that in 1979 on crutches.
Mm.
Yeah. And that kind of fueled a really strong interest in kids and their development. So following that, Greg Miller was appointed recruiting officer at South Melbourne in 1975 and was responsible for recruiting some fantastic players, and that's how it all evolved. So I've kind of been involved since then, either through school footy or did a fair bit of recruiting at the Kangas before finishing up at Brighton Grammar in 2006 and taking on the Tigers role.
It's obviously changed a fair bit, hasn't it?
Oh, it certainly has, and one of our kind of strong philosophies is to support the perception that we see at games as not just an opinion, but we turn it into a statistical opinion that actually we use statistics and code games to support what we perceive.
So it's a real science, isn't it?
Oh, that's absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. The statistics we get are fascinating now. In particular, as I said, like every Tuesday now, we pick up over, during the year, 40 games Australia-wide.
Right.
So the actual resources and the information we're getting now just continues to grow. So it is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we thank you for your time.
You need to get back to that.
It's a big time of year.
I'm on a roll.
That's exactly right. Thanks for coming in, man.
And good luck.
Thanks, boys.
dominant race, no fool. And as long as the state.
Some good insights there from Francis.
There wasn't. I hope we didn't hold him up too much because he's a very busy man.
He didn't. He was being jocular.
Yes,
there was no twisting of the arm. He was happy to come in.
I can remember, this is how far back I can go with my Tiger Barracking, obviously, but I remember Francis playing there.
Is that right?
He used to have these huge mutton chops.
Yep.
Which he obviously thought was fashionable back then. God knows why. But he's a good player, Francis, and what could have been, I suppose, if that trade hadn't gone ahead and he'd stayed here. But he might have played in a premiership or two, but anyway.
Well, you think a lot of things are fashionable when they're not, so...
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Not restricted, mate. Now, we did mention in with the chat to Francis about our top 20 trade pickups of the last 50 years.
It's just gone off this comp.
Hasn't it? What?
Oh.
And what are we up to now? We're in the...
Well, we're up to today is number
the top
12.
10.
We're nearly in the top 10, so we're up to number 12. But, it's caused a fair bit of... discussion, fair to say.
Yeah, well,
that's all right.
The committee was involved. We made sure that everything was above board.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. You want that. You want people to have good, strong opinions about it.
You do. So check the website, and we're up to number 12 now. Yeah. Who was today? Who was 12?
The Chiefs' older brother.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, Michael Butch Gale.
Correct.
Is number 12.
Yep. So you can read all about him. Mm. Just a reminder, you can still enter the top five competition, which can potentially get you a trip for two to the Gold Coast to take part in
that. That is an awesome trip, isn't it?
Yeah, we've talked about the prizes over the last couple of weeks, but just in brief, you get 3 nights accommodation, 2 people on the Gold Coast, 2 seats at the draft, entry to Dreamworld, and there's a breakfast with a key Richmond representative as well. So
we should have asked, sorry.
Go on.
Well, we should have asked Francis if he was open to suggestions, if a little bit of extra came his way, that he might let the read the draft names out at the draft table.
That's a bit of a
Well, he might stretch. Have been, he might be up for that. Anyway, we'll negotiate with him.
Yeah, okay. Mm. So all you need to do is hit the Richmond website, and it's clear as day. You can see exactly where it is. Click on the link there. Pick who you think would be the top five. We're up to number 12 already, so a few of them have been knocked out, but it doesn't matter. It's your opinion.
So it's a top five trade pickups.
Pickups.
Not trades.
No, that's right.
The actual players that we got.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, you've mentioned that how many times in the office the last couple of weeks?
I've had to.
It's been ridiculous. Mm. Anyway, hit the website, and you could win yourself a trip to the Gold Coast. So why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it just stands to reason.
Correct.
It would be tremendous. Correct. And the atmosphere up there will be brilliant, obviously, at the time of the national draft, and plenty of excitement. You can just soak up all that wonderful atmosphere there. It'll be
brilliant. Spot on. Now, Greeners, let's talk about our players that we're getting in, and a bit of a philosophy that we've got here to bring in some mature age people, which has obviously served us well the last couple of years. And you've written a story about this on the website.
Yeah, well, I think Craig Cameron spoke about it on our panel show last week. That when Damien Hardwick took over as coach, I think at the time we'd lost about 1,800 to 2,000 games of experience.
Yep.
So we had to replace that. And then, of course, we're getting the situation with Gold Coast and GWS coming into the comp, so they're going to have a compromised draft. So we had to look at a way of replenishing the stocks and getting a bit of talent in. So we went down the path of, looking at mature age players that fit a particular criteria.
Yep.
And it's worked pretty well so far.
It has. Some of those names include Greeners.
Obviously, we've had Sean Grigg.
Yes.
And Basha Hooley.
Yep.
And then we've had Big Ivan Maric.
Correct.
And Stephen Morris. Yep. And, of course, in the first week of the inaugural free agency period this year, we picked up Chris Knights and Troy Chaplin.
Yep. So they're all between 22 to 26 years of age.
Which is in that prime sort of age that we were lacking in too.
Have experience, but also big bodies, fit. Yep. Have played in the system, or at least played at a very high level, in the case of Steve Morris, and just come straight in, and they've all had an impact.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's the thing, that it's a very measured approach then that we take to, which Craig elaborates on in that interview, a very measured approach to this trade period in free agency. It's not just, I mean, a lot of names are thrown up and become available, but these players we targeted, months ago, and in fact, in some cases, a year or two ago, and we followed their progress carefully and were able to grab them when free agency came in. So it's a really calculated approach.
Yeah, absolutely. And it helps having a full-time resource in there. Blair Hartley, that's basically his job to see where our next talent can come from. So it's been a success so far, and let's hope that Troy and, of course, Chris Knights can make an impact for us next year and going forward.
Exactly.
And one of those guys we mentioned, Sean Grigg, spoke to him. Actually, Jack Rewalt spoke to him 2 years ago when he first arrived at the club, and here's a bit of that.
Well, welcome the Tiger faithful down to a momentous day. Well, at the club down here, obviously you can see in the background the redevelopment is starting to kick along nicely, and we've got one of the latest recruits of the Richmond Football Club down here, Sean Grigg, mate. Great to have you down here, and you must be pleased to be along at Tigerland.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, I'm rapt to be down here. The redevelopment looks pretty good, and getting down the club first day, meeting blokes like yourself, it's been a joy.
Yeah, obviously, mate, you're out of the 06 draft, the super draft, as we like to call it down here. Myself, Daniel Connors, Shane Edwards, Jake King, and, of course, Andrew Collins, who you were traded for in a straight swap to Carlton, mate. You're out of that draft, pick number 19, I believe, in a priority pick. Obviously, your first few years at Carlton, you didn't get what you wanted, and you're looking for a bit more of a game down here and a bit more experience.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was a super draft. But, I had 4 years at the Blues, and, it was good fun. I got a lot of good mates, and just the opportunity arose here at the Tigers, and I grabbed it with both hands, so I'm looking forward to it.
We've got a lot of young ladies out there. Give a shout-out to all our female supporters that are single and looking for a new beau. You on the market, or are you taken?
Taken. Off to Fiji tomorrow night with the girl, so looking forward to that.
Any big plans, mate? Maybe how long have you been with her for, and what's her name?
Start of the year, mate. Sarah, her name is. Yeah, so, okay.
So, look, 21, mate. You're not planning to 22. You're not planning to throw a ring around a digit while you're over in Fiji, are you?
Nah, mate. No way. Far from it.
All right, that's good to hear. Well, awesome. This is our latest recruit. Very excited to have him down here, and hopefully you can hit me up on the tit a fair bit next year, and we can get a few more games over the line for the Tigers.
Jack Rewald there doing a bit of presenting for Raw Vision, which is usually what Richo would do.
But have we got any word at all from the man?
No. No, it's a long holiday.
Oh, it's a very long holiday. I very much look forward to him coming back and just filling us in on a few of the little activities he got up to on the break.
We might get some of our listeners back when he comes back.
We don't need him, mate. I'm telling you, the ratings, we've never been bigger. Been bigger, and I'm not sure about the next contract for him, mate.
Ooh.
Might have to just drop a couple of zeros off the end.
Well, all right, they are stalling.
Yeah, well, I know. Well, hopefully we can just get something happening, but he needs to just probably lower the price a bit, I think.
Okay. Anyway, all right. Watch this space, Tiger fans. Now, we talked quickly about the off-season. We talked about some of the boys coming in earlier. I think people know by now that the off-season isn't exactly an off-season. The boys still have pretty strenuous...
Don't go and eat heaps of junk food and let yourself go and be like you have. No, you're in good shape.
Well, thank you.
No, but you do you? I mean, you can't got to just watch what you eat.
You do, but also you need to... They actually do a proper training schedule in the off-season. They don't just... I mean, they do go away and they go overseas and wherever else, but... they are required to keep a very high standard
of fitness. It's monitored too, isn't it?
It is monitored. Because when you get back, you suffer if you don't.
Yep.
And we've seen it in the past.
Exactly.
You know, perhaps when players haven't done the 100% of the... And you do get found out. So Basher Hooley, who's from his latest blog on his website, basherhooley.com.au, talked about how he keeps fit in the off-season before he jets off to his pilgrimage in Mecca, which is fantastic for him. And he's you can jump on the website now, you can see this. It's 4 weeks worth of training that he's been doing, and it includes, you know, sprints and running and strides and weights and swimming and bike sessions. And
He is very professional the way he goes about it.
He is. But, so the boys do have to keep in shape when they're away, and he's probably the leader in that in that regard at the Tigers.
He sets a good standard, and he finished the season off really well, and we look forward to a big year from him in 2013.
Absolutely. All right, that's pretty much all we got.
That's it
for today, mate.
Time for a gag or anything? No gag.
I did see your notepad there.
Just very, very quickly. All right. If there's H2O on the inside of a fire hydrant, what's on the outside of the fire hydrant?
What is?
Canine pee.
What?
I went to the doctor the other day, just really quickly, because I hadn't been feeling well.
Yeah. It's been a while.
And I said, "Doc, I feel like a pony." And he said, "That's okay, you're just a little horse."
Oh, no. He's gone with that. You've gone with that before.
Did I?
I'm pretty sure
This is the best of.
No, it's not.
This is the best of.
This is ridiculous.
What about how crazy people...
Oh, hang on.
Just very quickly. How crazy people go through the forest?
No.
Right? They take the psycho path. Righto.
Idiot.
No more.
Okay. All right.
Scholars well, isn't happy.
Yeah. Make sure you hit richmondfc.com.au. All your trade and free agency news is on there. You can sign up for the top five trade pickups of all time, or the last 50 years competition to win yourself a trip to the Gold Coast. And email us in too at talkingtigers@richmondfc.com.au with any of your thoughts about the show and if you desperately want Richo back.
And give us a shout, Richo, if you're out there.
Please,
listening.
A tweet, an
right,
Instagram,
anything.
Something. Speak to you next week.
Whatever. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is.